All right, let's answer a couple group questions here, and then I will post what the questions were. I'll actually copy and paste them into the post above. I just did a video. I actually went live as Street Cop Training. That's the problem. A lot of you guys aren't getting notifications of that. That's my bad. I should have gone live as Dennis Bonino. But here's what the first question is. I'm not going to call anybody out in the group. You can send your questions in anonymously, but I figured, why call them and just give them the answer myself or write them back? We'll just address it in a group video so everybody can learn from it. Right. So it says, hey, Dennis, two questions that I think a lot of young officers who want to do good highway interdiction run into, and the other guys in the group. First, is older do nothing that tell you to don't stop cars, you're wasting your time, or departments that make you call out every stop so whoever's on the desk is getting pissed off, et cetera. How do you handle that? My entire career was this. So it got so crazy with like the same thing in my AT. What they even, I'm not even lying to you, this is no bullshit. The desk guy, when I was new myself, and Officer Carlos Villegas, who's one of the most stellar cops I've ever worked with, we ate dinner every night. We worked the afternoon shift. We would eat dinner and we'd be done at 11 o'clock or like 10:45. And it was amazing at 10:45 how they kept a job for each of us to try to keep us from stopping cars. So everybody deals with it. I've been there. You know what, man? I don't know how to answer that one. We didn't give a crap. We tried to be really, really respectful. If it was a busy night, we wouldn't go out and start, you know, crushing the road. If you were the only car available, you know, if it was a slow dead night, yeah, we were putting work in. As a matter of fact, at a certain point, which was no good, we shouldn't have been doing this. We were actually putting our own stops in, and because the radio guy didn't want to get bothered. So that was a common thing. We would put the stops in the cat ourselves on the side of the road because we rode two man units. And then we would call out the stop and it would already be in the stack or the CAD. So the guy didn't have to actually type it in. So they kind of liked that. That kind of alleviated some of the stress of it. You know, we kind of didn't violate an SOP because we put it in, we still called it out. They got a little annoyed when people started putting all their jobs in, any kind of self-initiated stuff. And I think one guy put a fire in by accident and the whole fire department showed up to his traffic stop. But that's what we did for that. Look, it just is what it is. It's up to you. One thing I'll tell you is to go out and try to be proactive with an agency that is not going to be behind you or backing you. And I'm talking about the administrative. I mean, I don't care about your guys and your squad. They're not really going to have much of a say, but your administration, if they're not backing you proactively, you got to be very careful because you are going to make mistakes if you go out and you do interdiction work. And as long as they're good, conscious mistakes, you have to have an administration that's going to say, look, we get that you were out doing the right thing. You were trying. You made a mistake. No big deal. Keep it moving. Good job. Keep up the good work. Get back out there and crush it. But if not, man, they're going to ding you. They're going to shut you down. Don't try to fight your bosses. You're just not going to win. Your best bet is to try to find employment elsewhere. I don't care if you're step three and it's 8 years of top pay. And like, guys, I don't know. You've got 30 years to do or 25 years to do or 20 years to do. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, you want to, you know, hope for their administration change. What do you want me to tell you? All right. Next question. So that question goes on. Here's the second half of the question. Second, if you stop a car and ask for consent, but see that the person is agitated, but somewhat cooperative, it's the gray area. Toss the car, come up with empty. You still write up the PC for the stop or give them a warning because they were nice enough to let you search the car. If you're a guy who's out writing tickets and then you're going to get into interdiction work and begin to ask for consent to search, if you want to start getting complaints, here's what you do. Get consent to search. Shred people's cars, tear them up, and then give them tickets after they're done. Here's a great tactic. If you're doing criminal interdiction work, you do the search. You know, if you think you don't, if you're in the car and you're like, oh man, I don't think I have anything here. This could have been a wrong search, but it's okay. You probably just don't know. So it happens. Like, you're going to search cars and not find things. Your best bet is to say things like, hey, this is what we stopped you for. Hey, we stopped you for 14 over the speed limit. You know, it's, you were doing 39 and a 25. That's a 2-point violation in the state. If you went to court and fought it, they'd probably drop the points, but it would cost you about $500. Or if you paid it, you get 2 points. It would cost you $185. We're not giving you that tonight. All right. Just, you got to slow down a little bit. I appreciate your cooperation and have a good night. I always ended things with a handshake a lot of times. Don't get into the habit of writing tickets after you search cars. Now, if you feel like it's going towards an internal, make sure your administration's behind you. Your supervisor's going to back you up. That's really the most important thing that look, let this guy complain. You know, I have it on camera. What I'm doing is correct. I mean, I had, honestly, I probably had two complaints, and that sounds crazy, but I was working during a time that there wasn't a lot of complaints, and I know there is a lot more now, but I literally had two, maybe, I honestly think two complaints after searching a car. And, you know, like, as long as you're on camera and you know what you're doing, and, you know, the complaints came in, and I'm like, hey, go look at the video. I did nothing wrong. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. They were afforded the right to, they gave consent. This is the reasonable suspicion I had. And the administration would be like, yeah, cool. No problem. We got your back. You know, it was at a different time, but that's the answer to these first questions. Hopefully it helps you guys out. Don't give tickets if you're going to be searching cars. You must separate the two. You cannot go out and be a ticket Nazi and expect to. You just can't do both. You're going to either write tickets and be a goober, or you're going to go and you're going to go out and do interdiction work and make arrests and find guns, drugs, stolen items, that whole nine. The two don't go hand in hand. You cannot be mixing tickets. Now, if your agency wants you to do two tickets a day, great. Go out and do your two tickets, knock your two tickets out, and or whatever they want, a ticket a day, and then get to work doing interdiction work and trying to find an arrest. You can't mix the two. Interdiction's like fishing. You got to catch and release, man. You do not waste time. All right. Well, you know, this guy, I don't think he's a good car, but he does have a taillight out. Boom, 5-6 minutes writing a ticket. Here you go, sir. The guy hates you. He hates the police. He was a supporter, but because you wrote a ticket to him, you got to separate the two. All right, let's see. And the second question I have, I thought I had three, but I have two. All right, let's see what we got here. Hey, Dennis, I follow your street cop training, and I have to say your videos are great. I follow them religiously now. I've been wanted to ask you for your opinion on something for a year. I average about 50 to 70 drug arrests a year, but I get very few large quantity grabs. I work in a town outside of Trenton, which is New Jersey, and we use Trenton's. If you guys are in the group don't know where Trenton is, Trenton's a shithole. All right, and sorry, Trenton people, Trenton's a shithole. It just is. Go to Trenton. You don't believe me, go to Trenton. You'll see how much of a shithole it is. All right, and let's see, large quantity grabs. I work inside Trenton, and we usually target people leaving Trenton. Do you think that I should change my focus and try to target people going into get larger quantities? I don't really have a canine readily available, so would I just be pissing in the wind without one? I just want to tell you this. Like, don't think because you don't have a canine unit available, you can't do interdiction work. Like, I swear to you, I've only called for a dog maybe 10 times in my whole career, maybe 10. And you're like, wow, really? Is that the case? Why? Because I was a good communicator for people on the side of the road. So don't let the idea that you need a canine, you're relying on this for a smell, think that you can't get consent to search, you build up enough reasonable suspicion. If you have to threaten a canine, you know, listen, get your ducks in a line before you go out there and do work. I've had guys like, oh, we can't get a canine unit. I'm like, okay, who do you call first? I'm like, oh, we call these people. I'm like, oh, but who else has one? I'm like, the town next to you, the town over from you? Like, get in touch with these guys. Let your canine officers know, get their cell phone numbers. There's a town not too far from where I'm at that they like call the canine guy and they prep it before they have to call. And they're like, oh, hey, Sarge, I already talked to the guy from this town. You know, he said he's available if you want to come. And the Sarge's like, oh, if he's available, yeah, have him come over. Yeah, no, tell him to come over. If you don't say that in this certain town, they're like, you're not calling for a dog, da da da. Hey, Sarge, the guy from this town over, he's like, he's only about 2 minutes away. Can we call for him? Yeah, 2 minutes away? Yeah, no problem. You already get the eye prepped up, ready to come over. Know when their shifts are, know when they're available. Keep in touch with them. The canine guys are important to know. But don't let a canine guy and the lack thereof determine whether you can do interdiction work. I had two friends of mine who work in a very urban area. And they kind of told me what they were doing. Like, yeah, we're sitting outside a drug dealer's house. We get people come out of them. We get people coming out of this certain area. And I'm like, guys, the big stuff is coming in a certain way. It's going in there to get distributed out. Don't think that it's not going both ways. So if you're looking for larger loads, my advice to you is this. Sometimes they're so big. Let's take the Bronx, New York, for example. You have tractor trailers and all sorts of bringing large, large, large quantities of narcotics and cocaine. It's a cocaine hub of the East Coast. And then you have a lot of stuff coming out. Really, really nice corridor there. And a lot of guys in this group, and who are friends of mine, work those corridors coming out of the Bronx and into the Bronx as well, because money's flowing in. So don't be afraid to hit the other side of the highway and see what you get coming in, because it's coming in. It's coming in large quantities because it's got to get divided up and then it's got to be sold. And then you're getting the smaller quantities coming out. So, you know, work for me where I worked, we had northbound and southbound traffic. I liked the southbound traffic because it was coming out it was weird because we didn't have an interstate. I would say focus on your inbound interstates. If that's what you're trying to interdict major loads, your inbound interstate. So if you have something coming in that's connected to the turnpike or something major like the Garden State Parkway, that's a good place to sit. You know, you're trying to play this game. You're trying to figure out where people are. I would say, where do you see less cops? You know, like where do you see less cops sitting? I mean, you know, for us, like our state police is stretched real thin. So I was hitting up 440 because I know that at a certain point, these people are catching on that, hey, if we drive down Route 1 or some major highways, man, there's three troopers for like a 20-mile stretch, 30, 40-mile stretch in New Jersey. Their chances of getting caught are, I know they're traveling on these interstates. So what I do, I just switched it up a little bit. We put a municipal car on the highway, and now I'm a little bit more of a gauntlet for them. I don't have to answer the service calls on the turnpike or on 440, 287, the Garden State Parkway. And then we're snatching people up. There's a lot of high flow traffic coming through on those interstate roadways. I'm sorry, this thing keeps sliding because I'm trying to charge it at the same time, the tablet. So that's my advice to you is just try to like think about where things are coming in, where things are going. And that's some good advice for today. Hopefully you guys can take this. These are the things that I had to do. We didn't have a dog. I was in collaboration with people. I'm like, I made sure I knew what my channels were if I had to go to them and make sure they were available at the time. And if I had to call for a dog and wait for hour and a half, I would wait. You know, you could always let somebody leave the scene as long as you positively identify them. Just holding a body is very different than holding a car. So if you got to hold people and get a dog, you got to get dogs. Hopefully that answered your questions. Guys, I don't know if I missed a third one or if you emailed me or texted me, whatever it may be, reach out to me. I will answer these questions. It's good for everybody to know. Just start thinking a little differently. Start analyzing the roads in your town. I mean, where do you think things are coming in? Where do you think things are going? Don't discount daytime stuff. Every guy who does interdiction knows the best stuff's moving during the days. It just is. It's just in the morning. They're trying to blend with traffic. They're just moving. They're trying to hide. I had a friend of mine who was a huge drug dealer, and he's like, dude, I never got in the car after 6 o'clock at night. He was a guy who was smart enough. He knew. He's like, dude, the best cops are on after 6 o'clock at night. I'm not saying it's not out there, but the guys who are on day work, don't make the excuse that it's not there. I work in a very small town, and they've been stumbling across some, I live in a very small town. They've been stumbling across some crazy, crazy busts. And why was this going on and nobody's catching on to it? Because nobody's looking because they think nothing's going on in the morning. You got to pay attention. Hopefully this helped everybody. I really enjoyed this topic. I thought it was nice. It just kind of came a cappella to me from my experience. But if you need anything, reach out to me. I'll answer any questions you got.